The Case of the Vanishing Vamp, being the further adventures of Private Eye Dick George and his lovely wife, or soon-to-be ex-wife, Dora. Written in the style of a Hollywood comedy thriller of the 1930s by Sarah Maxwell. With Francis Matthews as Dick, Margaret Robertson as Dora, Edward D'Souza as Blore, and Ronald Herdman as Pastor the Dog. The Case of the Vanishing Vamp.
Who is it that it is?
It is I, Madam Blore.
Oh, thank goodness. Come in, Blore. Quick, before anyone sees you.
I don't like it, Mrs. George. I don't like it at all.
Oh, nonsense, Blore. Now, I ask you, if you didn't know me, would you know me?
But I do know you, madam. And more to the point, Mr. George knows you.
Not with this marvelous hat, he doesn't. Thank goodness veils are in this season. A few layers of silk veiling and this wonderful Hungarian accent I have so hard been working with. Why, Dickie will be completely fooled. Won't he?
One hopes so, Mrs. George. One does most sincerely hope so.
We'd better not be seen together from now on. What did you tell Dick about me?
Exactly what we rehearsed. That I was unable to acquire the compartment adjoining his, as a great new European movie star would be joining the train on the last night out of Los Angeles. One believes one has succeeded in piquing his interest.
Did you slip the conductor a little something for the key to the communicating door?
One slipped the conductor a rather large something. Something, madam. One fears that morality among the lower orders is not what it used to be. Here it is, Mrs. George. I beg your pardon, Miss Nardi.
Where is Dick right now?
In the club car, instructing the steward on the precise proportions of the perfect martini.
Oh, darling Dickie. Oh, I have so missed his endearing little ways. Our plan will work, won't it, Blower? It simply must, you know. Can you believe that 1 week from today, on the last stroke of midnight, our divorce will become final, and I shall be the ex-Mrs. George again.
And a few hours after that, Mr. George will be married to the oops girl.
Oh, the indignity of it. Replaced by a cheap little platinum blonde movie star. Loretta Raine, indeed. All rolled-down stockings, satin scandies, and pulsating cleavage. I don't know what Dick can be thinking after you.
After 20 years with Mr. George, madam, one might hazard a guess.
Well, she's not going to ruin his life, I'll see to that. The oops girl, indeed. Why, he'll be struck off the social register if he goes through with it. It's my duty to render our divorce null and void by seducing him in 7 ways. I mean, in 7 days. Don't you agree, Blower?
Excuse me, Mrs. George, but one feels this is not a suitable area of speculation for a single gentleman's single gentleman.
Well, just so long as you discover us in an upper berth together tomorrow morning.
Is that absolutely necessary, madam?
Yes, it is.
Mr. George was really quite struck by Miss Raine's oops. And I have vivid memories of polishing that boxing trophy he won at Wendover.
A lot of martinis have flowed under the Adam's apple since Wendover.
One hopes that is all that will flow by the denouement. Farewell, Miss Nardi. It is a far, far better thing that I do. Oh, I do hope so.
Pass me up for a satin cleavage, will you, Richard Arbuthnot, George? Well, you just wait, Dickie, darling, and I'll give you oops.
Absolutely not, Pastor. Come down this minute. I don't care. You are still not having the upper berth. Run right in, especially if you're blonde, beautiful, or 90% proof.
Your nightcap, sir.
Oh. Oh, thank you, Blore. Say, did you find out anything more about our mystery lady?
The reservation was made in the name of a Miss Nola Nardi, sir. One believes her to be a star of the moving pictures in Romania. Or was it...
Oh, never mind her pedigree. Is she my kind of woman?
One really couldn't say, sir. The lady appears to be quite nicely constructed, but she affects a degree of veiling, which makes further judgment a matter of conjecture.
How intriguing. You know, I've always had a taste for the enigmatic.
Not, sir, if one is to judge by Miss Rain.
No, Blaw, let's not start all that again. Miss Rain is an American beauty rose, a shining example of the girl next door.
Well, one can only be thankful one does not reside in her neighborhood.
Blaw, walkies.
Very good, sir. Come along with that, sir.
Now, page 16. This dame was some drawer. Her hair was black as a bootlegger's heart. Her lips as red as a PI's bank account. Run right in, especially if you're... Oh.
Hello, I am Lenardi. And you are a Dick, no?
I am a Dick, yes. Dick George, very much at your service. Now, why don't you hang up your veil and sit down, Miss Nardi?
I never remove the veil, Mr. George. I am, how you say... incognito.
Ah, so nobody knows you apart from the conductor, my valet, a couple of hundred passengers, and the entire payroll at United Artists, or is it RKO?
In Russia, I'm great actress, but in America, I am to be woman of mystery. He's good, no?
Oh, he's wonderful. But tell me, I've always wanted to know, do you sleep with the veil over or under the sheet?
Come into my bedroom, this way. Now.
Oh, goody, goody, a demonstration.
This is it.
Well, we can't be quite sure of that. After all, I am a married and engaged man. But would you consider running a close third?
My chest, it will not open. I lose my keys in Chicago. I am without...
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
And my vodka, he is within.
Oh, no, well, this is an emergency. Hand me a hairpin and stand well back. Now, quiet, please. In and gently jiggle. Well, madame, you're eau de vie.
Oh, but you are wonderful. How can I ever thank you?
Don't tempt me.
I have it.
It's years since I saw anyone with more of it.
In Poland, Nardi is clairvoyant. I look at some of your lines and I see your future.
I had a wife who looked at some of my lines once and saw my past, and then she hit me.
Sit,
woof.
I see your name. She is a newspaper long ago. You are Dick who sold to be rubyist.
Heist.
Gesundheit.
Thank you.
But what is this, Heist?
Gesundheit.
Thank you. In your hand, I see a wife. She is very beautiful.
Well, if you like rangy blondes with snooty accents.
Ouch!
Oh, I am so sorry. I kick you. No, was accident.
Oh, I'll never play for Harvard again.
But shit, what is this? Your palm tells me there is a bad woman in your life.
Thank goodness for that. I was beginning to think the news was all depressing. Ouch! Will you stop doing that?
It's involuntary movement of the leg. It's very common in Slovakia.
Come a little closer.
If I come any closer, I'll be sitting behind you. Now, look here. Will you take off that damned hat? All I can see is that wonderful scarlet mouth, a very exciting beauty spot, and 10 yards of heavy veiling. It feels like the beginning of an affair with a professional beekeeper.
Kismet! Or, as we say in Hungary, kiss me, big boy.
Oh, well, I never did have much strength of character. But if you turn into a frog...
Hey, Mr. George, what do you know? What do you say?
Muggsy Moran, what on earth are you doing here?
I was waiting in your compartment and I hear voices, so I come in here.
Well, I guess this is off Wiedersehen, Miss Nardi. I'm sorry I won't be here for the unveiling.
I don't get it.
That makes two of us. Say goodnight, Muggsy.
Good night, Muggsy.
Gee, I'm sorry about that, Mr. George, but I thought you was engaged to Loretta Rain. That wasn't her, was it?
Your guess is as good as mine. Well, what can I do for you, Muggsy? I thought you were legit now, running the Cool Canary Club.
Oh, sure, Mr. George. Ain't a hoot sort of 42nd Street straighter than Muggsy Moran. I just opened a new place in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I got on board.
Oh, Brandy.
Thanks. You see, I got this problem, Mr. G. I got engaged.
Well, it happens to the best of us. One minute you think all you're proposing is a weekend in Vermont. Next thing you know, she's changed the venue to Niagara Falls and you're facing 30 years to life. Cheers.
Ah, my Irene ain't like that. She's cute as a little baby bunny. You've probably seen her. Irene Smith? I mean, she ain't no Loretta Ray, but... Here, I got a picture. That's her. The 90-toy blonde on the glass doorway and dancing to Durango.
Mm-hmm.
Don't she just stand out?
Oh, yes, indeed. She's very cute.
Yeah, she used to be in the line at the Cool Canary. That's when I give her the ring. But Irene, she wanted a crack at Hollywood. So, well, she wrote me every week. Then the last 2 weeks, nothing. And she ain't even cashed the checks I sent her, so I know something's wrong. That's why I'm going out there. But you, being with Miss Rain, I figure you got contacts. And I sure could use some help.
Muggsy, I'll do what I can, but...
Didn't I always say you was the right guy? Here's Irene's last address. She was rooming with a dancer called Marie. I'll see you in the morning, Mr. G.
Okay. Oh, in case we miss each other, you can reach me in West Hollywood at the Park of the Prophet.
Ain't that where Humphrey Cooper lives?
Good night, Muggsy.
Or was it Gary Boca? Or maybe it was Carrie Gaylor?
You don't mind if I record this interview, do you? My shorthand is simply awful. This is Harry L. Loomis at Park of the Prophet for Hollywood Hints. Now, tell our readers, Miss Rain, how did you and Mr. George happen to meet?
We were introduced at a Broadway opening by a common friend.
By no stretch of the fevered imagination could Ham Hamilton be described as a friend of mine.
Well, he certainly isn't my friend.
Well, but weren't you and Hamilton married for a while?
Yes. And let me tell you, Harry, that was the worst 3 weeks of my life.
Now, how about you, Mr. George?
No. Ham and I were never married.
But you have been wed before.
Oh, yes, indeedy. My divorce becomes final in a week's time, and then Miss Rain and I will tie the knot, take the plunge, jump off
the... And until then, you will be staying here at the fabled Park of the Prophet... in the next bungalow to Miss Rain?
Now, look here, Loomis.
Harry, you bad boy. We only agreed to this interview because you promised to be nice. Why, Dixie Wixie's bungalow is all the way across the pool from little old Loretta. A complete un-American is next to Dixie. A Pola Nardi or a Nola Negra.
Nola Nardi is here?
You know this lady?
On the train, I rescued her from a fate worse than death.
Tell me.
I rescued 7 of her veils from a wardrobe trunk. The poor woman was walking around practically visible.
So tell me, Loretta, after 4 attempts at matrimony, what makes you think this one will stick?
Well, you certainly can't count my first 2 husbands. Why, I was only 16 years old, and I'm sure I could have stayed married to Junior, only his daddy had me annulled. Why, it almost broke my little old heart. I just loved his department store.
And then there was Ham Hamilton.
Yes, and let me tell you, I didn't like his department store, not the teeniest little bit.
Mr. George, weren't you once some kind of private eye?
Ah, well...
Wonderful! I can see my headline now. Snoop swoops to scoop oops girl.
Could you run that by me again? First time around, I didn't quite take in the full horror of it.
Oh, Harry, you're such a clever little itsy-bitsy thing.
Yes, isn't he, though? Say, Loomis, you just might be the guy to help me out. A friend of mine seems to have mislaid his girl out here. A little cutie called Irene Smith. You wouldn't have run into her by any chance?
Smith? No, I don't think so. Of course, there are so many Smiths around the studio.
So they tell me. Only most of them call themselves Normandy or Narimova or Nardi. You're sure you haven't heard of little Irene?
I really don't socialize with chorus girls. Loomis only plays among the stars. No, I really must fly. Thank you so much for the interview, Miss Rain. It always pays to cooperate with the press. I do hope you'll remember that, Mr. George. And if you should find yourself at a loose end when Miss Rain is working late or sleeping early, just give good old Harry a tinkle. He knows where the big boys go out to play.
Good old Harry knows where the bodies are buried, huh?
That sense of humor could get you into a lot of trouble. Perhaps you should have left it in New York.
Well, I certainly lit his fuse. Loretta, darling, alone at last. Come and give Pappy a great big... Good grief, what is that stuff you're putting on your face?
Mud sofa and Indian weave mask. It gives you skin like a baby.
And the social life to match. Scrape it off, darling. Let's go out to dinner. It's been 20 minutes since my last martini.
Oh, I can't eat sugar. I've had my lettuce and alfalfa ration for today. And besides, darling, it's nearly 9 o'clock. I've got to get my beauty sleep if I'm going to be in makeup at 6.
Does this routine go on every night?
A girl has to sacrifice herself on the altar of a claim.
Mm-hmm. And just what do I do while you sacrifice yourself?
Oh, you could work on your tan and swim in the pool.
Swim in what pool? That big hole out there surrounded by sunshades?
Oh, yes, I forgot. They were extending it in the shape of a Jack Daniels bottle, but the building contractors went on strike 2 weeks ago. I think they want danger money when they work around actors.
Wonderful. I'll throw myself on a chaise longue and watch the sun set over the rubble.
Little Lolo has to go bye-byes now, so will Dixie Wixie give Lolo a great big kiss?
Oh, baby, baby, baby.
Excuse
oh
me.
Oh, my God.
But it's emergency again. Gin I got, it I got, olives I don't got.
Who is this person, Dixie Wixie?
Who is that person, Dickassie, Dickassie? Look like vampire before transfusion.
Oh, in God. America, a lady knows how to care for her skin.
In Europe, lady does not need to take care of her skin. My skin, he is perfect.
Then why are you hiding it under all that gauze?
La Nardi keep herself pale and interesting for the camera. The camera, he love this face.
That's what they all say, till they see the dailies.
I think you'd better get right to bed, Loretta, darling. Remember your beauty sleep.
Oh, yes. You cannot get enough beauty sleep.
What did you say?
Oh, now, look, let's just run over to my place, Miss Nardi. Mm-hmm. Blore's a good man with an olive. I'll see you tomorrow, Loretta, darling.
And when you are sleeping, Miss Vane, remember always to breathe in and in.
You mean in and out.
I know what I mean.
Good night, sweetheart.
Kissy, kissy, kissy.
They tell me Park of Profits, he has swimming pool. Here I see only holes.
So the contractors are on strike.
Ha! In Russia, it's no striking.
Russia again, huh? Miss Nardi, were you raised on the Transcontinental Railway? So far, we've been through Poland, Hungary, and Slovakia, with two trips to the Urals. Yes?
I am Gypsy. Oh. La Nardi, she's Gypsy Queen. Huh?
Well, you win. Won't you step into my parlor, Your Majesty? Good grief!
My God, what a mess.
You can say that again. Blore! Blore, where are you? I know I told you to unpack as quickly as possible, but... Now, Pastor, come out from under that couch.
Oh, Mr. George, sir. Pelion upon us, sir. Whilst I was retrieving Pastor from Miss Nardi's bungalow and attempting to convince him of the futility of forming a close relationship with a shoe tree, it would appear that some dastard seized the opportunity to ransack your particulars.
Oh, no.
I fear, sir, that among the objects missing appears to be the small leather notebook you left on the coffee table.
And which just happened to contain Irene Smith's last address and the photograph Muggsy gave me.
One feels called upon to...
No, no, Blore, you can't possibly resign when I'm so far from home and nanny. Miss Nardi, may I offer you a martini drier than a producer's tear duct?
But what about your Sandrakt particulars?
Oh, Blore, they didn't take the cocktail shaker, did they?
Fear not, Mr. George. One always carries a spare.
Start man, Blore. With chaps like you, I really can't imagine how England could have been careless enough to lose an empire. Remind me to raise your salary when I become a cap man.
Your martinis, sir.
The return of the dastard, perhaps?
Mr. G. I'm interrupting again.
Yes. Go away.
No, close the door, Muggsy, and pull up a broken chair.
Please allow me, Mr. Muggsy.
Well, what's on your mind?
Mr. G., I looked everywhere for my Irene, and she ain't no place.
For this, I come to Hollywood. Better speakings I could get in Bohemia.
Oh, your caravan's on the road again.
I don't know who to do, Mr. G. In New York, I got connections, you know?
Don't remind me.
But here, I don't know what the action is. A couple of times, I think I found a heavy player, but it turns out it's a Mr. Raft and a Mr. Cagney working on some movie stuff. Irene's roommate skipped from her old apartment, and I can't get Zilch no place else.
You are going sniffing again, Dickesy Wickesy?
One believes that should be snooping, madam.
Okay, Dickesy partner, I sniff. You snoop.
Miss Nardi, since parting from my lovely wife, Dora, I make it a rule to do all my sniffing alone.
Oh. Then I do not tell you should go snoof at Central Casting. If their actors get work, and if little Irene stay in Hollywood, they must have no address, no?
Well done, Miss Nardi. You're not just a pretty veil, are you? I'll run over there tomorrow. Muggsy, I'll call you if I get anything.
Thanks, Mr. G. Goodbye, miss. See you, Flossie.
Now, we are alone. Now we are alone.
If you will excuse me, sir, one has to see a steak about a dog. Pastor, heels.
Well, now we really are alone. Even the martinis have run out.
Tomorrow. Why don't you have dinner at my place, huh? We drink, we eat a little. We drink.
Unhand me, madam. I am an engaged man.
I make best martinis in Madagascar.
All right, I'm an engaged rat. See you tomorrow.
Hmm? Adios, sweet prince. Farewell. Arrivederci. Ciao.
I feel as if I've just done Europe twice on a dollar a day. Well, I never thought Dora would let me live to say it, but life with her was a lot simpler. And more expensive. But definitely simpler.
Central Casting. Nothing today. You're welcome. Central Casting. Yes, Mr. Flynn. You're in The Wild Desert with Carol Lombard at 6:15. Can you ride a camel? Your private life is no concern of mine. Central Casting. Nothing today. You're welcome.
Excuse me, miss. I need a little help.
Listen, mister. I've been sweet-talked by everybody from Valentino to Mickey the Talking Mule. We got too many of your type already. Still, you dress good. You got your own tuxedo? Central Casting. Nothing today. You're welcome.
I really came to ask for your help in tracing an actress called Irene Smith.
Oh.
I'm a private investigator. Dick George and his lovely wife... Oh, I'm sorry. Force of habit. Miss Smith's fiancé is rather anxious about her. You wouldn't happen to be in touch with her, would you?
She ain't been around for a couple of weeks now, which is kind of funny. They're supposed to ring in here every day to find out if they're working next morning. And little Irene, she was usually on the ball.
Oh, aren't she?
Not much she wouldn't do for a day at the studio. But it happens. They go off and marry some grocery clerk from Hicksville with a steady wage packet. Central Casting. Nothing today. You're welcome.
They say Irene is a sweet kid.
Oh, sure. Sweet as cyanide. Listen, maybe you should go talk with her roommate, a no-hoper. Calls herself Marie Celeste, but she's a Betty O'Flaherty if ever I saw one.
You have a new address on her?
Sure. There you go.
Oh, well, thanks. I'll let you know how it comes out. Heel, Pastor.
Say, that mutt have an agent?
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Well, if ever you change your mind.
Come on, you ham.
Everybody wants to be Rin-Tin-Tin. Central Casting. Nothing today. But try me Tuesday. They're running out of Indians on Robinson Crusoe. Central Casting.
So it's all set, Brewer.
The pitcher of martinis is on the bar, Mrs. George. Olives to the left, onions to the right. One feels that it might just be an onion night.
And the Burf Wellington?
In the oven, madam. But do remember, whatever you're doing, it must come out at 9 o'clock.
And the English trifle?
In the icebox, above the breakfast champagne. Oh, and the claret has been decanted.
We've got him, Blore. I know we've got him. Everything he likes best in the world. And I come with a Turkish delight.
Madam, might one make one last request?
Blore?
Might one have one's ashes scattered over Bexley Heath?
This is Marie Celeste, with whom am I conversing?
Richard Arbuthnot George, Miss Celeste. I wonder if you could spare a few minutes of your time.
Gee, I ain't seen a suit like that since the Cotton Club.
Oh, really?
You ever worked the clubs in Harlem?
No, but I've spent a few evenings there that certainly felt like it. May I come in?
Oh, sure. Pardon my neglige, but we had a little sociable hill last night.
Oh, really?
I'd pour you a beer, but we're right out. Poopsie just went down the block for some fresh. I thought you was he.
Poopsie would be
my
your...
voice coach.
Oh.
He wants I should talk like Ethel Barrymore.
Mm, yeah.
Say, you ain't one of them big producers, are you?
I'm afraid not. I'm a private investigator.
Gee, I was in a crowd scene once with a private investigator, but he had a raincoat and a slouch hat.
I left my hat in San Francisco.
Mm.
Miss Celeste, I came to ask you about your roommate, Irene Smith.
Oh, but I already done that with the lady.
Oh, what lady?
The one with the big hat that talks funny.
Nola Naughty was here?
Sure. She said she was Irene's cousin from Turkey.
I've only ever known one other woman with such an imaginative grasp of basic geography. What did she want to know?
Well, after we hit the vodka she brought in her purse, she asked me if I know of any of Irene's friends. So I says Irene ain't the type for friends, except if they're wearing pants with the pocket stuffed with $100 bills and got an uncle who's a producer at RKO.
I guess Irene was doing pretty well out here. Wasn't she in the chorus of that Darblay movie?
Anybody could have done good if they knew what Irene knew.
Oh, which was?
Well, see, back home she mixed with a lot of hoods that hung out on the east side. She was even married to one. That's his picture hung over the escritoire.
I beg your pardon?
The desk over there.
Oh.
Pupsy calls it an escritoire.
Oh, does he? A good-looking fellow. If his eyes were set just a little further apart.
Well, see, this old man of hers, Carmine, used to run around with this guy who's one of them tea dance gigolos. And Irene, she recognizes him the first days at the studio. Only now he's assistant dance director for Digby Darblay. And ODD don't keep nobody on salary unless they got a record like Shirley Temple.
So Irene gives her old friend the big hello, huh?
Right. And the next thing you know, she's in the lineup for Dancing to Durango. And that's when she gets lucky again. She's waiting for her pal Loomis to pick her up at the studio.
Hey, were there? Irene Smith dated Harry Loomis? The dirt digger for Hollywood Hints?
If you call it dating. She gave him little bits. She snooped on the set. And he took her to them all-night parties at his beach house, where girls on the way up got cozy with guys could do him some good. But this night, Harry's late. Irene spots a light in one of the star bungalows.
Don't tell me, let me guess. Her eye accidentally strays to the keyhole.
And there's the director's wife sitting in the lap of her old man Settles one.
And the next thing you know...
Irene's got her own makeup artist. Mm. And the best-lit spot in the whole lineup. With the promise of two more movies.
So, why the disappearing act?
Well, all I knows is, one night about 2 weeks ago, she comes home real excited. And she just keeps saying, "This is the big one!" Next night, a big black limo picks her up, and that's the last I seen of her. Next days, I get a note saying that she moved in with some big name, and I gotta keep quiet on account of he ain't divorced yet.
Did she take any of her clothes?
Well, only what she got on. A silver gown and that white fur jacket the big moose from New York sent her. The note said I could keep her stuff, and there's a week's rent and a little over, so I would say she ran back east if anybody asked.
So, why the rat all of a sudden, Miss Celeste?
Well, she ratted first. That note said the rest of the rent money was coming later. Well, this is later, and it ain't arrived. She stuck me with her half of a 6 month lease, so I had to skip to this crummy joint.
Do you still have the note?
Are you kidding?
But you did recognize her handwriting.
The whole bit was tight. Come to think, I never knew Irene was no stenographer.
Ah, well, Marie, thank you for your help. Let me advance you a little beer money, huh?
I knew you was a real gent first time I saw you. You gotta go?
I'm afraid so. I wouldn't want to upset your voice coach. Oh, and I wouldn't tell anyone else about Irene's little ways. It could get you into big trouble.
So, what's new? Maybe I should have stayed Bertha Pulaski from Poughkeepsie.
Oh, Dixie Wixie, you tango just like Valentino.
Don't say.
When he was alive.
Oh, Dora always said I had two left feet. But then she would keep trying to lead.
I think the man should be boss. It's everything.
No, it'll never catch on, but I like it.
I instructed every one of my husbands to that effect, but they just wouldn't listen to what they were told. I got 3 medal Prudies and 1 desertion. They stuck me with a desertion when I wasn't there. Dip!
Oh!
Say, do you have a leaky faucet?
No. I'm beginning to have a bad case of the bends from all this dipping. Could we sit this one out?
Oh, why, of course we could, sugar. It's almost time for my lip. I enjoy exercise anyway.
Oh.
There it goes again.
It's me, Mr. George. Mugsy, I guess your doorbell don't work.
Oh.
You want to open this window a little wider?
Your timing is perfect, Mugsy. I've just got rid of Laura and Pastor, sprayed the room with eau de cologne, and lowered my bed. Now, you don't by any chance work for the Hayes office, do you?
I just come to tell you, I think we're onto something. This morning, I got a call from a guy who wants to kill me, which ain't unusual in New York. But who knows me out here?
Well, congratulations, Mugsy.
Congratulations?
Well, if they don't threaten to kill you, you're on the wrong track. Loretta, what are you doing?
My fish lip exercise.
Yeah, very lifelike.
You find Irene's roommate yet, Mr. G?
Yes, and I'm afraid the news is not good. It seems that in her eagerness to get ahead in movies, Irene may have used a little inside information to pressurize some of the big boys.
Why, sugar, there's a nasty name for that kind of thing.
Gee, I thought it was just called blackmail.
It seems Irene and that reporter Harry Loomis were, well, using each other for their mutual advantage.
Hey, now, blackmail's one thing, but don't you go saying my Irene would step out with another guy.
I'm afraid it was strictly business, Mugsy, and business that gets dirtier and dirtier. I think the next step is to put Loomis on the spot. I have a feeling that he's a man who panics easily.
Give me his address, and I'll go slap the truth out of him.
You are not famous enough to go slapping reporters.
Oh, I couldn't have put it better myself. Loretta, what are you doing? Do you have locked jaw?
This is my yo-yo yawn exercise.
That's amazing. Now, look, Mugsy, if there's someone important behind all this, Loomis is probably more frightened of him than he is of you. Now, here's his address, but all I want you to do is to tail him. I'll drop a few little items about Irene just to get him worried, and let's see who he runs to.
You got it, Mr. G.
Ooh.
And I hope Miss Rain will soon be better.
Ooh.
Now, just where were we, Lolo, as if I didn't know?
We just finished with the tango lover, and we were commencing to... Oh, gee, hon, I'm sorry, but my bell just rang.
Well, please don't apologize. My bell's been ringing for hours.
Oh, you don't understand. I have to be in bed.
We all have our little idiosyncrasies.
That bell was my timer. I have to take a pill and go to sleep so I can get up and go to the studio so I can almost eat and take a pill and go to sleep so I can get up.
Loretta, when we finally say I do, do you think there's a chance that you'll find some time when we actually can?
Why, you silly old romantic dickity wickity you. Night, 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 lover boy.
Night, 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 Rip Van Winkle.
Kissy, kissy.
I crossed an entire continent for kissy, kissy. That was a wonderful meal. And I want you to know that I feel very bad about this.
Another Armagnac, yes?
Me here drinking Armagnac and poor Loretta tucked up in a little truckle bed. with her eye mask, anti-wrinkle tape, and half a hundredweight of flavor of the month vanishing cream.
How you know these things? You have dip your hand in the cookie jar, no?
I think I will have that Armagnac. You know, Miss Nardi... Oh, it is Miss Nardi, isn't it? One black candle doesn't do much for the lighting plot.
I take off one veil. It's romantic.
And speaking of plots...
I take off two veils. It's erotic.
Miss Nardi, how come you went to see Marie Celeste? And more important, why?
I take off... No, I think I keep on. It's dramatic.
You know I'm on to you, don't you?
We go sit with fresh air on window seat, come.
Yes, as far away from the light as we can get. Miss Nardi.
You have the eyes of Johann Gilbert.
Good old Johann.
The nose of Johann Barrymore.
You're getting involved in a very dangerous game.
The mouth of...
Johann Crawford.
Clara Gable.
Oh, really? No, I would have said it was more. Now, look here.
I kiss the mouth. Oh. So.
Oh, now, how did you know I like... Now, Miss Nardi, first there were the martinis mixed exactly right. Then there was the beef Wellington like my mother never made it. And finally an English trifle that almost made me wish we'd lost the War of Independence.
I kissed the mouse again. So...
You know, Nola, I'm beginning to think you might have something with this clairvoyancy act. Mm. Well, for what I am about to receive. Could we open a window? I think they just turned on the steam heat.
The window, he is open already.
Oh, I tried, Loretta. Believe me, I tried. Do that again, Miss Nardi. Please, do that again. I think I just put my size 9 on something very peculiar.
Is nothing. I pick him up.
No, please. Allow me.
Oh, good grief.
Now, I haven't seen a knife like that since Tarzan swung through the potted palms with it clenched in his dentures. The blade must be stuck 6 inches in the paneling.
Outside, there is nobody. If you did not bend down to pick up this doggy toy, that blade would be stuck 6 inches into you.
One thing for sure, this knife was thrown by an expert.
You think Miss Smith, she is dead, no?
I think Miss Smith, she is dead, yes. My guess is she tried her little blackmail caper once too often, and on somebody who couldn't afford to take a chance on her silence. Nola, you could be next for the chop if you keep snooping.
This chop, he was for you, Dickesy, remember?
Well, knives tend to come in sets, and I like your back just the way it is. I don't think a silver handle sticking out of it would be any improvement.
I think I close the window.
Another squeaky toy. Now, haven't I seen those teeth marks before somewhere?
Your little doggy. He come over one time or two. He liked to play. Mm. You like to play, too, no?
Nola, right now, I'm confused. I left one woman in Manhattan counting her alimony and another one across the courtyard counting her wedding invitations. 3 martinis, 2 veils, and an Armagnac later, I am seriously considering being unfaithful to the woman I'm being unfaithful with. I think I'll go to bed.
Oh, darling.
Alone. And thank you for a truly unforgettable evening.
If you get lonely, you call to me. I am creature of the night.
Well, that certainly is a novelty. In this town, only you, me, and Dracula are out after dark. And he doesn't get around much anymore. Sleep tight, Miss Nardi. And keep your windows closed. Kissy, kissy.
Kissy, kissy, indeed. You just wait till I get you home, Dickesy, Wickesy. You just wait. Ooh.
No, Pasta, it won't be for you. Mr. George is strictly one trust's temporary residence.
Blower, I've been calling for 10 minutes. Were you asleep?
One may have closed an eye for an instant, madam.
A fine accomplice you turned out to be. We might have been halfway through our blueberry muffins by now, and nobody to discover us in flagrante.
Mrs. George, one is still somewhat apprehensive.
Well, anyway... The muffins are off.
We didn't burn the Burf Wellington, did we, madam? After all one said about...
Dinner was perfect.
Ah.
Then somebody tried to kill Dick. And for some strange reason, he went right off the boil. Oh, Blore, what are we going to do? In 36 hours, the divorce becomes final. And Dick's so involved with his Irene Smith case, he just doesn't have time to get himself properly seduced. What would you do, Blore?
One regrets, madam, that one is unable to project oneself into the required position. But perhaps today, Mrs. George, after the pool party, one might...
Pool party? What pool party?
Mr. George and Miss Rain are attending a reception to be held around the bathing facility of Miss May Lamar from 4 until 8 in Bel Air. Although why any civilized person should wish to stand outdoors for hours with indescribable insect life paddling in one's cocktail glass is quite
May
beyond
Lamar.
Me.
The May Lamar? But she's the biggest name there is. The magazine crowd are all bound to be there. I just bet I could get Harry Loomis to take the mysterious Nolan Ardy.
Mrs. George, I really don't think it wise. One recalls the old saying, too many chefs spoil the bouillabaisse.
We have to wrap this case up today so I can wrap Dick up tomorrow.
Might one proffer one's...
Absolutely not. Goodbye, Blore.
Resignation, madam.
Well, nice little mausoleum they have here. Not much bigger than the White House.
Now remember, Sugar, you just have to be nice to May. Everybody has to be nice to May or they don't work.
An actress has that much power in the studio?
My Lord, May Lamar isn't an actress. She's a star. And a star with a business brain sharper than that suit her husband's wearing. They say she's a major stockholder in half the studios in Hollywood.
And that's the husband? The cream shark skin with the silk cravat?
The Raymond Navarro lookalike, yes. He directs all her movies. Leastways, that's what it says in the credits. But May's a lady who can produce with one hand, direct with the other, and watch her investments while she sleeps.
Gesundheit. Muggsy, what are you doing behind that rose bush?
I've been watching Loomis like you told me. He's whipped that dame with her head in a bag.
Loomis and Lenardi, yeah. I told that darn woman to stay out of this.
They just now split up. So which one do you want me to follow?
Stick with the woman, Muggsy.
Okay.
See she doesn't get in my way. I think it's time I put a scare into our Mr. Loomis. Loretta...
Don't worry about little me, Sugar. I just spotted a producer I want to see about Scarlett O'Hara. Only don't go falling in the big pool, lover. It just isn't done to swim around these parts. Oh, and if you come across the small pool, don't fall in that either. It's full of rocks. They were turning it into a tennis court when...
The builders struck. Now, where have I heard that before?
Bye-bye-bye, lover. Kissy-kissy.
That kissy-kissy has got to go. Well, well, we meet again, Loomis. Do you come here often?
Oh, so glad you could make it, George. I thought you might be indisposed. May I present Jonathan Dane, Miss Lamar's husband? Johnny, this is Dick George. You must have read my interview in Hollywood Hints.
I never read that rag of yours, Loomis. I'm glad to know you, George. I hear you're going to marry our little Loretta. A real bankable item, that. You're going to need an accountant to keep tabs on your percentage.
Well, maybe I could borrow yours, Mr. Dane, was it?
Now, look here, George. You can't talk to Johnny like that.
Oh, sorry. And in his wife's house, too. Such bad taste.
Think you're pretty smart, don't you, pal? Well, I got your number, see, and I have friends.
Oh, well, now you do surprise me. You know, Mr. Dane, I've been wondering where we've met before.
What are you trying to pull? I never saw you before in my life. If you're still looking for that cheap broad.
Oh, but I'm not.
You're not?
That's right. You see, I think I know exactly where Irene Smith is.
But you can't. It's impossible.
Button it, Loomis. George, why don't we take a little walk, huh? This is a big estate. We have a lot of stuff here that might interest you.
Like a safe full of greenbacks and a ticket to New York.
You never know what we might come up with, huh? Why don't we take that stroll? Harry, go keep May happy. And if she looks for me, tell her I'm shooting pool with the guys.
But Johnny, you...
Do it!
All right.
Ever been really poor, Mr. George?
No, but my soon-to-be ex-wife is working on it.
Then you couldn't even guess how far some people will go to get out of the gutter. I was kind of a naughty boy when I was a kid, and some people think that makes me vulnerable.
Well, they say there's one born every minute.
What do you think of the fancy framework, eh? This door leads to the small pool and the servants' wing. We keep it locked for parties, but they can be private there.
Oh, people will talk.
They always do, but without proof, huh? Hollywood destroys a lot of good guys, but it's not going to destroy me. Little Irene tried bringing up some of my past. Oh, nothing really illegal, but this place has its own set of rules, so a few of my friends persuaded her out of town.
I rather think that you and Lewis did the persuading. You've lost a mustache and gone upmarket with a hairstyle, Dane, but I've just remembered where I've seen you before.
I told you.
You were hanging just above a somewhat lopsided escritoire.
Are you crazy?
You're Irene Smith's ex-husband.
So what? You ain't got what she had on me, so what can you do, huh? Now, why don't you get out of here, huh?
You had my bungalow turned over to see if I had any idea what Irene's blackmail was about. And this little tete-a-tete was just to make quite sure. But something I said a minute ago took the heat off, didn't it, Johnny? One minute you were ready to drop me, and the next... But all I said was that you were Irene Smith's ex... That's it, isn't it? That has to be it.
I don't know what
you're talking about. You're not her ex-husband after all, are you? Little Irene never got that divorce. You're still legally married.
I thought the stupid broad picked up the papers years ago. And she turns up here and threatens to tell May I'm a bigamist unless I get her a real part in our next movie.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing May won't stand for in her productions, it's dames younger and prettier than she is. If Irene spilled the beans and May thought I'd made a fool of her...
You'd be out on your ear. And without a settlement, since your marriage to Lamar wasn't legal.
I could offer to pay you off, but you'd come back for more, am I right?
Oh, I don't think even Miss Lamar has enough to pay me to be an accessory to murder.
Mr. G.
What the...
You see that thing?
Muggsy!
I'm okay. The sheriff got me in the leg. Look out for that guy! He's...
An artist with any blade ever invented, especially this little beauty. No, don't move, Mr. George. At this range, I couldn't possibly miss. I'm 90% accurate over 100 yards. Now, back away. Gently. Towards the dry pool.
Muggsy.
Out cold, I'm afraid, George. Blood affects some guys that way, especially when it's their own. In no sudden moves.
Hasn't it occurred to you that I might be missed?
Guy gets cold feet and runs out on bride-to-be? Happens every day. Who's to worry?
Lanardi, she is who? For you, I pull myself through a hedge forward.
Get out of here. He has a...
Oh!
He has big knife. I have small gun. Stop. Stop or I shoot you again.
Look after Muggsy and call a medic. Dane's not getting away with this if I can help it. What the... Okay, okay, Pastor, okay, your black sheep's in the fold. Now come out of that swimming pool. Yes, I know it's full of rocks, but trust me, it's a pool.
Oh, Mr. George, sir, are we all right?
Law? Now what is this, a family reunion?
One masqueraded as catering supernumerary, sir. Unfortunately, Pastor escaped from the motor car and followed Miss Nardi.
I think you're damn clever, don't you, George? But just remember, no body, no proof.
Blord,
sir?
Do you have your Boy Scout caviar spoon come corkscrew come pen light concealed about your person?
Well, naturally, sir. Here we are.
Shine it a little bit to the left of our villain on the rocks. There, you see it?
Why, yes, Mr. George. There would appear to be a species of animal trapped in the rubble.
Yes, I'm laying odds. That's part of a fox fur jacket, Blore. And I'm rather afraid it isn't alone under there. Our friend Dane seems to have caused a small landslide.
Damn you, George. Damn you.
You mean Miss Smith is... Do you know, sir, one believes one is feeling a little...
Poor old Blawsy. And he didn't even have time to resign.
NASCAR for the Super Chief on track two. Calling at Albuquerque, Kansas City, Chicago, and New York. Last call for the Super Chief.
So, it was Irene's old man, this Carmen Donati guy. Behind it all the time, huh?
When he hit Hollywood as Johnny Dane, he was a regular at Harry Loomis's charming little orgies out at the beach. And he took some pictures, just to keep Harry in line. The cops found them in his private wall safe.
So, Loomis tells Irene they're going to Bel Air to sign the contract with May Lamar. And then the Dane guy knocks her off. And they stash her under the rocks in the pool. Poor little Irene. They shouldn't have done it, even if she was the wrong number.
If the contractors hadn't gone on strike, the pool would have been filled with cement next morning, and they'd have got away with it. You know, you probably saved my life, popping out of the undergrowth like that. Just what made you decide to come burrowing through the thorns?
Oh, you told me to follow the broad, and she was following you. So when I see her shoving through the hedge, I pick my spot and do likewise.
And with a lot more shoving practice and a lot less veiling, you naturally got there first.
I never figured on walking into that shift, though. That Donati guy was a real pro. He worked the carnies in a knife act when he wasn't in the slammer. And that naughty dame, she sure saved the both of us. But with her running off like that, I didn't get no chance to tell her thanks.
I'll tell her for both of us, Muggsy.
Well, I hope you catch up to her. But listen, how come you're on the train tonight when you get to marry Miss Rain after midnight?
Tell you all about it when we reach New York.
Ah, well, you see, I ain't exactly leaving right now, Mr. George. The quacky showed me up good, but I figure a little son would be great on the leg. And anyways, that Marie Celeste, she ain't a bad little number.
Oh, Muggsy, Muggsy, will we ever learn?
All aboard!
I gotta go. See you around, Mr. G. And thanks.
See you around, Muggsy. Well, at last. Come to Papa, my dearest darling.
Your Dom Perignon, sir.
Oh, yeah. Blore, I'm getting worried. What time do you have?
10 minutes to midnight, Mr. George.
And the conductor, did you...
One has unlocked the communicating door, sir.
Blore, you are a pearl beyond price. By Jove, this time I will pay your salary.
One is, as usual, deeply moved, sir. Pasta, walk is...
Steve Scoop looked into her baby blues and the message they were sending melted him right down to his pigskin...
You are alone.
Well, apart from Steve Scoop and his hot wallet, why don't you join us?
What happened with your oops, lady?
My engagement to Loretta? Well, I think we both finally realized that east is east and west is west. She works all day and I play all night. Besides, all that sun brings on my heat bumps.
So, but not George. You are a free man.
I will be in about 5 minutes. So, what say we skip the formalities? Your place or mine?
But what about your so beautiful wife? Lanardi here, she great love of your life.
Good Lord, whatever gave you that idea?
You marry with his wife, not once, but twice.
Right. The first time I married her for her money, and the second time I married her for what she had left of mine. Now, shall we take the lower berth, or would you prefer to love dangerously?
Arbuthnot, how can you do this?
Oh, it's really quite simple. Come here and I'll give you a demonstration.
You.
Cab.
Yes, let me go.
Founder.
Yes,
out
let
and
me.
Out, son of a...
Yes, let me go. You are a high-minded man.
Oh, and believe me, I intend to stay that way.
What?
Would you care for a little champagne, Mrs. George?
How did you find out? Did Blore?
No. Blore was the soul of discretion. He deserves to be fired.
Then how?
Well, you know that little mole... Just where...
You couldn't possibly have seen that. Not unless...
God bless the man who invented the keyhole.
Dick George, you are...
Bounder?
Yes,
a
and
cad,
a... Yes, and a...
And a man who is very much in love with his wife. Now, take off that damned hat and...
Oh, Dickie.
Oh, Dora.
Oh, Blore.
Madam.
When you do finally take Pastor Walkies... Hang the do not disturb notice on that door, will you?
Delighted, Mrs. George.
Oh, and Blore.
Sir?
Leave it there until we reach New York.
Delighted, sir. Absolutely delighted. And may one be the first to wish you both a very good morning.
You know, Dora, darling, the man is right. It is exactly 1 minute after midnight. Now, about that mole.
Dickie, stop it. Stop it.
Never, my little gypsy queen. This is finally it.
Oh, no.
Oh, Dora.
In The Case of the Vanishing Vamp by Sarah Maxwell, Francis Matthews played Dick, Margaret Robertson, Dora, Edward D'Souza, Blore, and Ronald Herdman, Pastor the Dog. Muggsy Moran was played by Harry Taub, Loretta Raine by Lisa Ross, Harry Loomis by Ed Bishop, Jonathan Dane by Peter Whitman, Mari Celeste by Nicky Croydon, and Central Casting by Bonnie Hurren. The play was directed by Glyn Dearman.